Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
We are officially on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And we are officially on the road to the Connor's Cure tailgate.
Woo! All sorts of fun, exciting things and sounds. Yeah. I am super excited for NAI Mania, like we always are, honestly. Yeah. But I mean, like, this one's going to be super duper special. It's the fifth edition. It's a 5 or a 0. So yeah. It's definitely a real number with a real name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And much like Vince McMahon. Because we didn't...
Multiple of five.
We didn't, I don't think, like, enthusiastically celebrate NAI Mania 0.
No.
Because it technically didn't exist.
No, it didn't.
So this is our first
one.
We
met one. Chip.
Yeah, that's one. It's NAI Mania 1.
Yeah.
So NAI Mania 0 was just something that didn't even happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean?
We all looked at each other and were like, wait a minute, the Undertaker lost?
Yeah, right. That was NAI Mania 0. Where we watched it from home, but were confused about the Brock Lesnar decision.
Yeah.
First of all, can you believe it's been five? Can you believe it's been five?
Insane.
Also,
he's wrestled at all of them.
It's super convenient. No, just the fact that we're going to our fifth one. But It's super convenient that the way it works out is because NAI Mania 1 was WrestleMania 31.
Yeah, so it's easy to remember.
And so until WrestleMania 40, we're good as remembering.
Right. Oh, yeah. We're linked up.
And then we got to, like, go with, like, use, like, a base one. And people are like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to remember ever. So a couple more, and then it'll get confusing.
Yeah, right.
But for those who haven't heard yet, we're going to let you know. We're doing the New Age Insiders presenting as part of NAI Mania for the first time. We are incorporating an actual live wrestling show into the weekend. Chaos for a Cause is Saturday, April 6th at the Rahway Rec Center. You do not need to make decisions about, like, guys, I want to go and see you, but I have tickets to whatever. You don't have to make that decision. It does not conflict with TakeOver. It does not conflict with Ring of Honor, the New Japan show. It does not conflict with the Hall of Fame. It does not conflict with any of the things you would probably be doing that weekend. You can add it to your weekend. And over the last month or so, we've had Dominik Dijakovic, Warbeard Hansen, Kofi Kingston, who we'll be talking about on the Patreon edition of New Age Insiders this week. We'll talk about even more about Kofi Mania and how that's taken shape and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. Chaotic Wrestling is a real deal show, and it's an incredible weekend. And those guys have let you know that it's worth adding to your weekend. And you should go to chaoticwrestling.com to get those tickets, or newageinsiders.com to get tickets to Chaos for a Cause. A bunch of people we know out there, like Danny and Justin and Jedi and Joey and Dylan, they've already got their front row tickets.
Front row, baby!
Come join the fun. It's going to be an amazing time. And then the party of the weekend, Sunday, April 7th, Gary and Ashante, huge shout out to awesome people doing awesome work. The Mania Club, Connor's Cure, tailgate party. WrestleMania Sunday, that's April 7th, at MetLife Stadium. We're right there on location. So not only does your ticket get you unlimited beer, unlimited beer, unlimited food, contests, prizes, championships, cosplay, friends, mingling. We're going to be live on location. It's WrestleMania. You never know who might show up when it's WWE's charity for the Connor's Cure tailgate party, Sunday, April 7th. Everything is on newageinsiders.com, and we're just thrilled. And so we're thrilled. We're thrilled about the weekend and getting to see everybody. We're going to get to meet some people. Shout out to Justin and anybody I forget who I'm sorry that we're meeting for the first time. It's always awesome to get that done.
Well, that's the most awkward part about these things, at least from a personal standpoint,
okay,
is that people come up and just start talking to you.
Yep.
And they talk to you in a sense that it's just like, we've been having conversations for years.
Yeah.
And so it's not weird. Like, I'm just trying to, like, it's like meeting a relative at an extended family party.
Yeah, the way, exactly. It's just like seeing someone you haven't seen for a while, but it's like, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, hi, I'm Danny. It's like, I know.
You know what we need is at the table next to us, we need like those hello, hi, my name is stickers.
But it's
hi, my Twitter handle is.
Yeah, right.
Do I sound good in your headphones? My headphones are going crazy over here.
Are you?
Yeah, my headphones are going nuts.
Uh-oh.
You say it's like a mania?
It's like
you sound like pure sex in mine.
Yeah, no, they're crackling and they're
really
going like boom, 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 boom back
and
forth.
Okay, let me check.
So, yeah, so that's terrible. but what I like my
it's not us, it's you.
I bet you're right. My formal request would if you're going to NAI Mania, wear a name tag with your Twitter name.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep, that's all I ask.
Because the other thing too is like if your name is like, you know, the hot dog man 49,
right?
It's just like and you're like, hey, I'm Doug, I'm gonna be like,
hi, Doug.
Hi, you're the hot dog man. Say that. You know
say
what I
that,
mean?
Or
let me know. I'll be like, hey, I'm Doug, the hot dog man.
Right.
But you can't just go from being hot dog man 49.
To Doug.
Not without an explanation.
Yeah, right. Because here's the thing. As much as I love all of your beautiful faces, I don't get to see them. And you see my beautiful face all the time.
You might not even be good looking. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
All right, we're going to swap out these headphones.
Oh, well, so that's going to happen. I'm going to keep talking because Bill's like telling me that I should keep talking.
Yeah, we're good.
It's
a casual vibe.
It is. It's a casual vibe here on NAI Live. Ooh, fun. That's a fun thing that's
said. The casual vibe of NAI Live.
NAI Live. Yeah,
jazz flute.
Ooh.
But. This is a good time to shout out somebody who has been a Twitch Prime subscriber for now going on 3 months.
Yay!
And that's Insidious Pie.
Yay, Insidious Pie. Thank you so much.
Twitch Prime subscriber. You can be a Twitch subscriber.
Tell the people how.
You can be a Twitch Prime subscriber. There's a little button if you watch on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. You go on upstairs. There's a thing, and it says subscribe. You click on that, and you can actually give us money. You don't have to, like, oh, I don't have Prime, so I can't do that. No, you can just, like, actually do the thing and pay for it. Or you can have Amazon Prime, sign up with your Amazon Prime account, and then we just get money.
And Jeff Bezos doesn't, and he's a billionaire, and we're not.
Yeah, he's a little bit less of a billionaire, but he's a billionaire.
So, now that we got all that out of the way, and we do appreciate you listening, and somebody does listen, because we have amazing Patreons, patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, some people that we're looking for. Oh, that's much better sounding. New headphones rock.
I'm glad. Like, new day.
Woo! It's an incredible experience to get to know you guys, and the Twitch thing is taken off. Shout out to James Stewart and Sarge Mike Riley, Wrestling Inside the Ropes. You can find it on 98.5thesportshub.com. Awesome people with an awesome show, and definitely worth checking out and adding to your podcast list. That's what we're trying to do here on New Age Insiders. Add to your experience. Add wrestling to your weekend that you might not experience without the New Age Insiders. Add friendships and add a communal experience to your WrestleMania weekend. Add Jimmy Stewart and Sarge Riley to your repertoire. Add DC Matthews and Doc Manson. Add Jamie Jamakowski. Scotty Slade.
I do want to
Rich Paladino.
Mike Wendt. There is one thing that I do want to mention because I don't know if we've actually talked about it, but I'm going to make this executive decision before we do.
Whoa.
Every year,
whoa,
we have an NAI Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
And so I don't know when we announce that, but we're going
to WrestleMania weekend.
Usually we do.
We've only done 4 of them.
I know. Well, but we've usually done it before. I don't know. We talk about people.
It's asshole.
Yeah. The point is that I want to make it clear that Doc Manson is not going in Hall of Fame.
He's still not endorsed?
No.
See, the thing is, it's now become like, so here's the example I'll give you on this, okay?
Yes.
This is a real world example.
Okay.
So I was with my buddies and we were at the Quincy Center T station. We were looping around. So I picked them up near the Quincy Center T station, and it's easier to just go through and loop around, right? And so we're at the stop sign and there's 2 lanes. So the left lane is for cars looping around.
Right.
The right lane is for buses looping around.
Got
right?
it.
So I'm in the left lane at the stop sign because the bus wants to loop around. And it's looping, and then it has to stop because there's some guy in a truck in a don't be parked here
yep.
place
yep.
just hanging out, like waiting to pick up his buddy. And so the bus driver honks on the horn and just holds it, like holds down the yep. horn. And the guy in his truck goes, I'll move if you just stop that. Like it became like a
right.
guy macho matter of principle thing.
Right.
And you could tell it was, I'll move if you stop honking the horn. Well, I'll stop honking the horn if you move.
Right.
Well, I'll move if you stop honking the horn. No
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll gladly stop honking the horn
yep.
as soon as you move. And that and the, a cop had to come over. I mean, what the fuck is going on? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right, right.
And that's a real story. And so I feel like that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
Is that like I don't know. Like this seems to be this impasse where Doc is like, can I be in the Hall of Fame? And you're just like, no. And here's the thing about the Hall of Fame. Like when like we
I
don't,
care
like,
about it the least.
But like here's what I would say is like yeah, you care about the Hall of Fame no matter what Hall of Fame it is. But like yeah. Jamie and Scotty
yes.
and Rich
yep.
are not in our Hall of Fame.
No.
And for people like rolling their eyes, I understand, you know, that it's not necessarily like as prestigious as the WWE's. But what it was, its purpose in the beginning and what it still is, it's like, look,
it's close.
We endorse these people. It's like, if you go and you follow these people, you're right. going to have a good experience. They're not going to call you a dickhead for thinking something different. There's a lot of shitty people on the internet.
A couple of people we've had to boot out of the Hall of Fame.
Right. And these people, in our opinion,
yes.
are not shitty people. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
that's the point of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Just kind of a way for people that are
right.
like, I'm afraid to talk to anything on the internet because I'm going to get yelled at. And it's like, not if you, you know, kind of drift over here. And so DC is in because we did that like 4 years ago.
And he didn't have a show at that point.
When we had no idea what the hell was going on, and he didn't have a show. And Chip, the same thing.
Yep.
And so since then, we have not put Jamie, Scotty, or Rich in because it's like, we tell you about them every single week.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like, Mike Wendt's not going on the Hall of Fame.
Right. And so it's like, that's why Doc's not in. It's why, the way that I would equate it is it's like, guess who else isn't? Guess who's not in the WWE Hall of Fame? Linda McMahon. And that's not like a personal slight.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's because it's
right.
like, it's almost like, wouldn't it be kind of weird to like clap for that lady, be like, feel good for me. I decided to do this for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And so like, if Doc is like actual mad, then go ahead. Because it's not like he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, right.
It's
right.
just like, that's not the spirit of it. That's the reason?
Yeah, sure.
But if he's going to be like mad, then I don't want to, you know, but you don't care about the mad either. So, I mean,
no.
And we all like Doc. I just,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I just,
no, yeah.
I just think yeah. that
we're one like, of the few to actually meet him.
I've never met him. And that's
oh, that's right. You
that's
there.
Part of,
yeah.
that's probably where it all stems from.
We had a,
I haven't,
we had a,
I haven't
we had a
met
lovely,
him.
Lovely breakfast.
Yeah, I wasn't
with,
there.
With DC and Doc. Lovely.
No,
but yeah, but I feel like that's what it is. Like, I don't know. I can't really pinpoint which one's the bus driver and which one's got in the truck, but it's that. It's just like, you just know, like, I would like to be, you know,
yeah.
like in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, well, if you stop asking, it's like, well, I can't be in if I don't stop asking. And it's like, well, if you don't stop asking,
you won't be in.
You don't get it.
If he wants to write an essay, he can write an essay and we'll put it under advisement.
All right. Speaking of breaking character, which I'm not sure that's an actual example of, Ronda Rousey, Triple H, Dave Bautista, and a whole lot more.
Did you see that thing about they posted where it was, tell me what you want? It was the Spice
Girls. Oh, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Right. But. Here's the scuttlebutt about what's going on in the world of pro wrestling today.
Because
here's the reality. Sometimes we sit around and we do the show meeting, the show prep meeting, and we go, what do you want to talk about? And here's a little inside baseball. Sometimes the three of us look around and go, because they're not doing anything interesting.
I think that's yeah. most weeks.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, do you want to talk about like Ring of Honor? It's like, no one listens when we do.
Donald Duck.
They have right. an important pay-per-view on Friday.
I know, but here's the real talk.
Yeah,
just
no, this
real,
is the real talk.
We talk. Everybody goes, I wish you guys would talk about more than WWE. And we go, great, you want to talk about Ring of Honor? And they go, no. And it's like, then, you know, do you want to talk about AEW? They're not. They don't have a show yet. You know what
right.
I mean? Do you want to talk?
The news out of AEW. Here, you want to talk about AEW?
Yeah.
Matt and Nick Jackson said they're not going to be in New York.
Yeah. Do you want to,
cool.
You want to talk about New Japan? What's that? You didn't watch the show? Then great. You know, what's left? WWE it is. Oh. And so, like, sometimes we sit around and we go, like, what happened on Raw this week? Nothing. And so we make up things and pretend it's more interesting than it is. I think there's actually something super actually interesting
yes.
going on right now in this world, which is this newfound trend of like having to, and I do think it's a have to, I think it's a have to, having to adapt to the everyone knowing the deal. So it's like, listen, I think that there used to be a time, and this might be a weird example, but bear with me. I am a weird example machine.
Yeah, all today.
I think there used to be a time, you know, and I'm not talking about necessarily the 1600s, maybe like the 1800s, right, where people had a clue, where like you might believe you saw a magician and you're like, he made that disappear. It defies my logic and I don't know how, but he made it disappear, right?
Right.
Because it's the 1800s, and guess what there isn't? There isn't this is how you do magic tricks YouTube videos. There isn't that guy that went on TV and's like, spoiler alert, here's how you do everything. You know what I mean?
And it's like, we're even past the time where, I don't know if you remember, but Fox ran that series of like,
that guy.
Magic tricks
yeah,
revealed.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he had to wear a mask
right,
because
he got blackballed from magic.
Yeah.
And they found out who he was anyway.
Yeah.
And
right.
he like not a magician anymore. But yeah, but the point is that like, yeah, in the 1800s, like if Harry Houdini like made that, you know, horse disappear.
Right.
And I don't know where the hell the horse went, and I don't know how this works, and I don't even have a conceptual clue of where to begin having that horse not be there anymore.
Right.
There might be some people that are just like, I know it defies every logical part of my brain, but God damn it, he made that horse disappear.
Yeah, right.
And I think in the 1970s, 1980s, there were people that it's like, look, if you go back and watch wrestling, it always looked kind of weird that if I gave you a stalling suplex, you kept your legs straight in the air and didn't try to get down. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right.
So I think people, even in the 1970s, with a clue, could have gone like, it defies all my logic that
right.
this is like actually what you would do in a fight. But I don't know the deal. I don't know what it's like. They seem mad at each other. You know what I mean? One guy's bleeding. And so like, yeah, I'm able to kind of lose myself and be like, I think this is a fight. And now in magic, like I said, there's YouTube video. Any trick in the world, there's a YouTube how they did it video. And not only could you watch that specific video,
right?
But once you kind of have an idea of how card tricks work, and it's a very Santa Claus thing to me,
yeah, right.
toothpaste out of the tube.
Yeah, right.
Where it's like now, even just that baseline knowledge makes you rethink everything you see moving forward.
Yeah, right.
And so with wrestling,
same deal.
Now that we know that Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes were good friends the whole time.
Yeah, right.
And we've now seen through WWE themselves in high def how to like work a match, what it looks like backstage.
Right.
The fact they don't hate each other. In fact, they're all friends. You know, a wrestler will gladly tell you what wrestling's really about these days, and not, no one's like trying to keep it real no more.
No.
The Undertaker has Twitter, game over. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so I want your thoughts, and Bill, you as well, about like, we're going to talk about Rousey and Triple H specifically, but before, you know, just like, what do you think about what Rousey's doing, Hunter's doing, you know, really doing something in wrestling that hasn't been done on this scale, maybe ever on this scale, which is just being like, yeah, it's not a show anymore this WrestleMania season. You know
yeah,
what I
right.
mean? Like, that feels like the tagline, WrestleMania 35, it's not a show anymore.
Yeah, right.
So I think that when it comes to those particular examples, right, Dave Bautista and Triple H and then Ronda Rousey, it's a tale of two stories, right? I think one is doing it far better than the other. But to kind of talk about a little bit more about what your original point was, where I think that I like where their head is at in terms of what they're trying to accomplish, I think that their execution is very poor.
Okay.
Right? The execution is that you're trying to grab the fan base back by the throat because you had it in the 80s when people didn't know what the deal was.
Right.
And then you had them in the 90s when you changed your programming.
Yep.
And it became a little bit more relatable to what they wanted. And then you went into this weird hybrid where it wasn't really the 80s style of wrestling, but it wasn't either the attitude. You know what I mean? And so going forward, you're in this weird limbo where everybody knows the deal, but it, the best way to describe it as an example is it's like going to the circus, right? The circus has never changed. Right. You went there. The ringmaster says, hey, look, this is what we're going to do. Now go look over here. There's some elephants. Oh, now you look over here. There's a bunch of clowns. And then look at the trapeze guy. There's a fire spitter. And then we're done. And so, as you've seen with circuses in general, the popularity declines because it's no longer relatable because it's been the same thing forever. And so WWE is going into that same lull period where the fan base isn't really gravitating towards anything. And I've said this 1,005,000 times before, where television has changed. Television was the secondary medium to film 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, if you wanted hard-hitting, very compelling storytelling, you went to the movies. Now, that's not the case. Movies have changed to be these big, spectacle, over-the-top, intense experiences.
Or lighthearted escapes.
Or lighthearted escapes. And the character building and world building and drama have now gone from a two-hour experience at a movie theater to years over the course of 8 one-hour episodes on television.
Yep.
And you live with these characters for longer periods of time. And people, to the point, up until MoviePass last year, really, people stopped going to the movie theaters, and they were talking about how movie theaters were going to die out because people were just waiting for these things to come on a home video. And
because it was too expensive to go to the movies.
Yeah.
And who could be bothered?
Right. And who could be bothered? Now, MoviePass comes along, rechanges the game because now subscription models are a thing. AMC, Showcase, they both follow suit and put MoviePass out of business. But the point is that WWE has never evolved. We talked about it earlier where it's like, Daniel Bryan going, or not even Daniel Bryan, the Drifter, right? Elias going out there and being like, wow, your sports team sucks and you're terrible and you're stupid and you're fat. Well, it's like every bad guy has gone and done that for decades.
Yeah. I love Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens, but Daniel Bryan goes, these people are stupid. And Kevin Owens goes, well, count me in. And it's just like, I love you, but you're not breaking any new ground.
No, here. Exactly. And so the audiences that are more sophisticated watching television are bored. They're bored.
Sure.
So WWE comes along and they're just trying something new. So the idea is we have to get our storytelling to be more real and more compelling, right? And you've done it well on one hand and terrible on the other because Ronda Rousey, they're doing a great job. I know a lot of people don't like her, and there's a plethora of reasons as to why. And I'm not telling you that you're wrong or your opinion is stupid because some of the things I understand. But you look at her and she goes in and goes, I was told that I needed to be on a leash and I had to be a certain way. And now I don't care anymore. And so I'm a real killing machine and kind of goes off script, but goes off script in the way that it's like believable. I believe that, Ronda Rousey, you came in here and you were trying to be a good soldier and play your part and it was fun. And then you're now fed up with it, and the character is breaking, and now we get to see the quote-unquote real Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, so this isn't the part where I put over somebody I like. I'm going to, but I'm not just here to gush about Ronda Rousey, but I do think that this is how I see her. It's funny. Be careful what you wish for, because everybody feared what Ronda Rousey would come in, with trepidation. And to be fair, there were a lot of people that were like super excited about Rousey right away, right? So I'm not telling you that didn't exist. But people that had trepidation about Rousey coming in, the reality is what they feared the most is actually the polar antithesis of what happened. Because you feared that she'd be Brock Lesnar. But here's what she became. She actually became everything you want Brock Lesnar to be.
Correct.
What you want Brock Lesnar to be, the average fan that's mad at Brock Lesnar, what I've gathered from years of bitching, right? And valid complaints, by the way. I'm not dismissing people that don't like the Brock Lesnar experience, for real. But hear me out. So Brock Lesnar, you don't like that he's never here. He never defends the title. He squashes people you like. It doesn't feel like there's a champion on this show. I'm sick of it. It's not new. And so, and I don't think he likes wrestling, right? Or whatever.
Right.
And so what she is she comes from the UFC, but she's here every week, defends the title, doesn't squash the average opponent, right? And now she says what Brock Lesnar or Heyman will never because Heyman is wrestling. And so because Brock doesn't speak for himself, this will never happen. But what she can do is just go to the masses and say, I am such a big deal that you, like, it's two things. You and I talked about this off the air. First of all, she knows the biggest button you can push is to go to wrestling fans and say, the thing you love the most is stupid. Wrestling's right. stupid. I'm a fighter and wrestling's stupid. And you just went, and the average wrestling fan that doesn't know they're getting worked just has a fit. You know what
right.
I mean? Because it's the biggest button you can push. It's not even like you, it's not about your sports team. It's not like your favorite wrestler is stupid. It's like wrestling's dumb. Ha ha. I'm so good at this because it's so easy and stupid. And then you're just like, I hate you.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But the thing about Rousey is because Lesnar, to Lesnar's credit or fault or weird paradigm, I don't know. Because I sometimes think Brock Lesnar's just falling through space with how many weird examples he is unto himself.
Yeah.
But Lesnar's never come out and said, wrestling is easy and stupid. He has said, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah,
he has,
right.
Or Paul Heyman on his behalf, or a combination of the two, has said, I'm going to kill you. Or, yeah, I don't care what happens when I'm not here.
I don't watch the show, Paul.
Exactly. Famously, why would I watch this show? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, a question we all ask ourselves some weeks.
Yes.
But truthfully, but he didn't say...
Wrestling's dumb.
Wrestling's fucking dumb. Because my counterpoint to that would be like, hey, then Brock, then why are you interested in being a champion in it or of it or whatever? And he doesn't. He just goes, this is easy. I'm the best.
Yeah.
But I don't care. When I'm not here, I check out and then I clock in and then I clock out. And that bugs you. But what Rousey's doing is what Rousey's either implying or I think she's eventually just going to flat out say is, listen, I'm the biggest star in the women's division. I don't care if that offends you because Charlotte's put in more wrestling work. I don't care if it offends you because Becky Lynch and Bayley and Sasha Banks and Dana Brooke have put in more wrestling work than me. I am still, suck it, the biggest star here.
Yeah.
And so guess what? And it's all in character, but now this cool cloud we're talking about, blurred line, where it's like, hey, Stephanie, I'm going to now do whatever I want. Like you said.
Right.
Tried to be nice. I tried to smile. I read the promos. I tried to remember the stupid scripts. It didn't work. So here's the thing. Now I'm going to do whatever I want because I got nothing to lose. You're not going to fire me because I'm the biggest star. And if you do, I'm Ronda Rousey.
I'll be all right.
Me and my millions of dollars and tons of opportunities will just go do something else. I heard she wants to have a kid. I'll just maybe cut, you know.
Maybe that happens a little sooner.
Exactly.
Maybe I start a fighting school.
Right, exactly. And it's just like, you got nothing over my head.
Yeah, right.
And I think the real person believes that. And I think the wrestler is starting to have that be her identity.
Right.
And I love it.
And so that blurred line works. Now to shift to the other side of that coin, the Batista and Triple H thing, that's not really working.
I don't love it.
I don't love it either. There's a bunch of things I don't love about it. One, I don't... the Richard Fleer thing doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you, but
bothers is a strong word, I suppose, but it's stupid.
It's,
but go ahead.
It's dumb, but like people are like... Oh my God. And I'm not there. But where I am there is I always think it's really dumb when a wrestler says, like, this time it's going to be for real.
Yeah, it's always a stupid angle.
Like, basically, whenever somebody faces John Cena and they go, John, you're only this many time a champion because the back wants it that way. And this time it'll be different.
But I didn't win my Intercontinental title that way. It's different. Yeah. It was different.
It was different.
Mine's real.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what it is. Where it's just like,
yeah.
What? So why are you unnecessarily unraveling this string?
Yeah.
And so the problem is that
It's like when you see like a man at like you ever seen like a woman at an anti-feminist rally? It's just like, you know what I mean, with a bunch of like dickhead stupid guys and like there's a woman there.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
What the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, why are you here?
Why are you? I don't know.
That's a weird thing to. Yeah,
I don't know why are you here at all. Why do you hate feminism?
Yeah, right.
Why
right.
is that like a flat principle you hate?
Yeah, why? I don't understand. But having Triple H go up there and in that same promo where he references Richard Fleer instead of Ric Flair, he also goes, you're not going to get the character, you're going to get the man.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, that's not great.
Yeah.
I don't like that because instead of Ronda Rousey being like, look, here's the thing, I tried to play nice and I tried to do what the back was telling me to do, you're actively acknowledging that it's like, so... This is going to be a weird one. It's not Batista, the animal Batista versus the game Triple H. It's Dave Batista spelt weird. versus Paul Levesque.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's stupid.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, yeah, like you're the woman at the anti-feminist rally. Women shouldn't have more rights. This whole system is stupid. It's like, well, you're part of that system. You should want to be like, it's weird that you're like, the championship system in wrestling is dumb, but I want that title. I was like, I thought it was dumb. Right. You just said it was pointless.
Yeah, right.
But and so like, here's the thing. I understand the bigger picture of this, honestly, is the idea that it's very difficult. Because look, you know, you can say what you want about what, you know, we know about wrestling or I know about wrestling. We all have opinions and all that stuff, right? But the idea is that Triple H is an actual, like, real wrestling expert, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Right. Yeah.
And I watched him a couple years ago sit down on Steve Austin's podcast on the WWE Network and say the words, look, we all know kayfabe's dead.
Yeah.
That's a quote.
Yep.
And so that is their mindset. And
right.
You can tell that sentence is, I mean, plants the seed that explains the tree.
Right.
Because it's like, why don't they do like long-term stories? Why don't they invest more in Bray Wyatt? Why don't they have like characters like over the top, you know, like
the problem is
because they go, everybody knows that's stupid now. And it's like, wow, that's just how you operate.
The problem is you look at somebody like the problem is that you could have went two ways, right? You could have went the way that you went and it's kayfabe's dead. So what's the point? We're not even going to try. And it's that, oh, well, that's not what I want this to be.
Right.
Or you double down and you do what something like a Lucha Underground did, where it's like, look, here's the deal. You know that this is a television program. So instead of just being like, well, this is stupid and we're just going to have nonsense mean everything and nothing mean anything, we're going to double down. And this guy's going to be an actual phoenix. That guy's going to be a time traveler, and you're a weird demon guy. Cool? All right. Yeah. We all know that at the end of the day, you all take your masks off and you're different people.
Right?
Prince Puma, you're some guy from the, like, you have this incredible backstory about being from the barrio in East LA, and you come from a long line of Aztec warriors, and Conan found you somewhere, and it's just banana nonsense. But at the end of the day, you take your mask off, and you're Ricochet. Like, we all know that that's the fact. But I can get invested in a storyline where it's like, yeah, Mil Muertes is some sort of weird demon person and he's got to fight a monster that some guy had trapped in a basement.
So this topic interests me so much because I just think it breeds so many bigger conversations, to be honest with you. Because it's like, it's things like this where, yeah, the WWE's mindset has so shifted to... Everybody knows they all go to the back and hug after. So instead of, like, you know, we've talked about this a million times. Paul Heyman was in charge of SmackDown Creative when it was taped. And so what he said was, how do I fight the spoilers? I don't shy away from big moments because I know they'll be spoiled. I create bigger moments so you'll read about them and have to watch them on TV. And so what I think WWE does is instead of going like, okay, so let me give you like an example specifically, an isolated example, Bray Wyatt. So what we want is for Bray Wyatt, maybe not in resume, I get it, but what do they want? What do people want him to be?
The Undertaker.
Right. Because why? Because every week there was like fun guys and ass kickers and funny people and good wrestlers, and then there was this dude that was just something else.
You
know what I mean?
Right.
This big ominous figure that like, look, in a world where the more and more, the older we all got, because we all age with The Undertaker, literally, if he were 7 when he debuted, you're 32 now or something, you know, like 37, like, you know what I mean? Like, you grew up with his career. And so the idea is like, but even though you learned more and more and more about this business, something about that guy just made it feel different and, dare I say, realer.
Or yeah, not even that. It's just
fun.
Fun is the answer. And it's like, I don't need you to tell me that Paul Levesque is going to show up at WrestleMania, right? Instead, I need to watch you as the game, you know, come back. It's like, I've been in this suit. You know, you showed up in the jean jacket and everything. So you shifted the character persona visually. And I want you to be that guy. I want you to have this, like, real internal struggle as a character. Because the biggest problem with the WWE is that the fan base fills in the storylines.
Yeah, and in their defense, though, they have to. Because
WWE doesn't do anything because they don't care.
Right, I used to try to, like, talk to people into being like, yeah, don't create a story in your head, not see it on TV, and get so mad that you hate what they made. Because you're right, that's short-sighted. But now that they don't get anything, and they just... Yeah. And I understand it completely, because it's like... It's really not even about, like, you didn't tell my story anymore. It's
you're
like
not telling any.
And it's, again, it all, to me, Bray Wyatt really is, like, this just, you know, quintessential example of, like, the Paul Heyman method. If Paul Heyman were in charge here creatively of the whole thing, what I think he would do is say, listen, everybody knows that this guy doesn't have everybody knows he literally blows out an electric lantern during his entrance.
Yeah, right.
Everybody knows that.
Right.
But also, everybody that came to this show physically and is watching at home wants to be immersed and is so okay with
right.
this. Because if you're a wrestling fan, you're a nerd. And so it's like, the idea is like this. Nobody went to the, and I know they're not new characters, but like, could you imagine, like, let's say Disney, right?
Right.
Disney used to do fantastical things. And then all of a sudden, let's say they like, we would never buy Marvel because, like, what are we going to do in, like, what, in the year 2008? Are we going to convince people that, like, a robot Metal Man and his magic friends from space, you know? No. Mm. They go, we're going to make the most kick-ass incredible movies that nothing on this screen could happen. Nothing. And
yeah,
nobody
right.
cares. Nobody goes, well, like, you know, you know, that's really Chris Evans, right? Like, nobody does that.
Well, there's a thing in wrestling, and this is the biggest, and this is probably the thing that infuriates me the most, right? As a creator of content, and that nothing is real, right?
Yeah.
Is that they teach you in film school, day one, even if you've heard the term before, they go, hey, do you know what the concept of willing suspension of disbelief is?
Yeah.
And what that is that when you enter the theater, whether it's a live stage show or on the screen, right? You understand that it's like, yeah, Robert Downey Jr.
This is reality.
Robert Downey Jr. is not here. He is Tony Stark, and the reason why everybody lost their ever-loving shit when Spider-Man says, I don't feel so good, is because, yeah, we all know Tom Holland went home from work that day and is still just like hanging out, dancing, and being a lovable, goofy little bitch, right? But Spider-Man died on that screen right there, and you were emotionally invested to that character that when he disappeared into a cloud of ash, you got sad about it.
People cried at Titanic because Jack died knowing Leonardo DiCaprio's fine.
Right, and so WWE's mentality is, well, we're not going to let you get invested in anything because you just think it's stupid anyway.
Because you know the deal. Right, and so again, what we as fans want with Bray Wyatt is, and again, not everything's about Bray Wyatt. Just ride with me here. What people want is for this guy to be an over-the-top, crazy, almost, you know, outlier of the rest of the programming here. And because, like, yeah, we were at the most recent WrestleMania. The most fun part was when The Undertaker shot lightning inside and, like, his coat turned into a man. And for the life of me, now, I didn't ask all 65,000 people, but nobody in any earshot went like, that was dumb. He's not really magic. Because you don't go to the movies to talk about how the Incredible Hulk would, you know, his skin would stretch so much he could never return to Bruce Banner. It's like, get out of here.
Yeah,
what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Why this isn't like, you know, like a town hall meeting where you have to come.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
Or have to.
Yeah.
You know,
here's the thing. If you want to break down the logic as to how Doctor Strange couldn't actually control time, then guess what? You shouldn't have been here.
Get out of here.
You knew what this was.
Right, get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to be a nerd and break down, like, things about a movie that's supposed to be, like, factually accurate about, like, space travel, fine. You still suck, but fine.
But here's
this is the Avengers.
Right, but here's the thing. That's a fun thing to look at after we all went and enjoyed the goddamn movie.
Right, and so, like, nobody... I really don't believe that anybody... This just speaks to their grasp on the audience as a whole.
Right.
I truly don't believe that anybody would go, Bray Wyatt's like what? Now Bray Wyatt's like making people possess... Like, when Bray Wyatt had that little kid, like, talking that deep, crazy voice, I didn't see anybody online, or not the majority anyway, nobody I saw go like, oh, this is stupid. That was just a voice modulator. It's like, get out of here.
Right.
Get out of here. Why are you here?
Right.
And I just don't think that person even exists, because what I think Vince McMahon still wants is for like wrestling to be cool.
Right.
And like, it's not.
Well,
but I mean that in a, right. I mean that in a good way.
Right, but kinda. You know what? It comes around in full circle, right? And I think that that's where the short-sighted nature of the top brass of WWE kind of falls short, right? Because look at Marvel, right? Marvel went in and they weren't cool, and their movies were terrible up until Iron Man, right? But they were like, no, look, here's the deal. Instead of trying to make movies like the Fantastic Four that's going to appeal to everybody, we're going to...
And appeal to no one.
And it appealed to no one because you didn't do enough for the fans of the Fantastic Four to actually like make it a movie for them.
Yeah.
And you didn't make a mainstream enough movie because nobody cares about... Right. At that point in time, nobody cared about comic books enough to be like, oh yeah, that's a stupid comic book thing. I'm right. not going to go see that.
Yeah.
But then... Marvel gets involved, like, actually in their films, and they go, you know what we're going to do? We're going to double down. We're going to double down, and we're going to create comic book movies for our fans, because our fans love it. And so if we get our fan base to be ravenous and enjoy it, people will follow.
They want, like what they want is 10% of 10 demographics.
Correct.
And so, and like you said, Marvel goes, oh, instead what we'll do is we'll get 95% of this entire demographic and then hope that considerable chunks of the right. rest of them come. So, like, we'll get 100% of nerds and then hope that people that don't find themselves that way at least hear these movies are so good they'll come too. But right. if nothing else, every nerd.
Right.
We got every nerd.
Right? You look at Deadpool, right? Deadpool's a prime example. They tried to put Deadpool in the Wolverine Origins movie,
yep.
right? And they made a version that was more for everybody,
yeah.
and all of the nerds hated it.
Because it was for nobody.
Because it was for nobody.
Right.
It was bad and it was stupid, right? And then they go, and Ryan Reynolds goes, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make the Deadpool movie the Deadpool fans want to see. Right? So he doubles down and they get that movie made. And it is one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
Right, because they go, well, if we make a rated R
comic book movie,
we might not get the casuals or we might not get the kids. And it's just right. like, yeah, but you're going to get 100% of the adults.
Right.
You'll get 100%.
Right. And that's what ultimately ended up happening. You made a movie specifically for
right.
your fan base and everybody went to see it. And then the magical thing happened where now all of these people that are like, hearing that this movie is actually laugh out loud funny and an action movie, go and see it. And so now you get a whole bunch of a demographic that you didn't expect.
Right. And so, and just to bring it back to WWE, what Marvel has done is make good movies with superheroes.
Correct.
Right? They haven't even started trying to make good superhero movies. Made good movies with superheroes.
Right.
So what I want is a good show with wrestlers. And so again, we're going to talk about this point in a lot more detail. But like I said, just to wrap up the original point, what we want is Bray Wyatt to be so big and so grandiose. It's like, yeah, we know this is a show, but if you're going to be a show, be the biggest show you can possibly
right.
be.
Right.
You know what I mean? And instead they go like, no one will take this seriously because they know WWE 24 has already shown that Bray Wyatt's just going to hug his opponent, so what's the point? Yeah.
There's DVD commentary on Blu-rays
yeah.
where they told you how they made the movie.
Right, but lose me in the experience. And just really quick before we take a break, because this is yeah. the point we're going to come back with and talk
right.
about in great detail. Insidious Pie. I'm willing to play pretend with you, WWE, but don't be the asshole who says pretend the floor is lava and then 10 minutes later stroll across the carpet toward the kitchen like it ain't no thing and then wonder why I'm looking at you like you just smacked my grandma.
Right.
We're going to talk about Ronda Rousey and Triple H in much more specific detail, the quote-unquote old school rules they broke, why we think they had to, and just the world we're living in. So we're coming back with Ronda Rousey, all the broken kayfabe, Triple H, all the, hey, I'm a character now talk, specifics on Rousey and Triple H. The New Age Insiders, be right back.
The Royal Rumble has come and gone, and it's officially Mania season again, which means it's tailgate time.
The Mania Club tailgate party takes over the parking lots of MetLife Stadium for the fourth annual event benefiting Connor's Cure on Sunday, April 7th. This year, for the cost of just $70, your ticket price will benefit Connor's Cure and aid in the fight against pediatric cancer, and includes all-you-can-eat food, all-you-can-drink beer, soda, juice and water, a music DJ, a live interactive WrestleMania pre-show featuring the New Age Insiders, special guests, and more. There will also be several raffles, and participation in our legendary cosplay contest for your chance to win some amazing prizes is highly encouraged. Underage? No worries. The Mania Club tailgate party is a family-friendly event, and all the previously mentioned, minus the alcoholic beverages, are included for just $40. Tickets are available right now via links available through the Mania Club Facebook page, at Mania Club WWE on Twitter, or by visiting newageinsiders.com/tailgate. The official parking lot number will be announced very soon, so stay tuned for the final location, which will be closer to the big event than ever before. Once again, join us April 7th from 11 to 4 on Mania Sunday for the ultimate tailgate party with the Mania Club, with proceeds benefiting Connor's Cure. We'll see you there.
It's that time of year.
I'm Irish, so I mean, I think I legally have to celebrate or I get kicked out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited to go. We're going to be stopping by Dungarens, 344 Elliott Street in Newton, Massachusetts. If you're going to do St. Patrick's Day the right way, you have to go to an Irish pub. And if you're right. even doing a pub crawl, you have to do the Irish ones. And Dungarens is the best one.
Absolutely.
And I'm super excited for St. Patrick's Day in general. Do you like green beer?
You know what?
It's fine. Doesn't taste any different.
I'm not a huge fan of the green beer. I think it's just is like taking a step over the top.
All right. Well, Dungarens has a bunch of craft beer on tap, so you're good. I don't think any of it's green. I don't know. Maybe it is.
Plenty of Guinness.
And if it is, give it a try. You have to have a Guinness at St. Patrick's Day.
Plenty of whiskey.
Again, if you don't want to get thrown out of the club, then you have to have it. Jameson is my personal favorite, so I mean, that's all going down. 344 Elliott Street in Newton, Massachusetts. Go down to Dungarens and have yourselves the happiest possible St. Patrick's Day.
Hoity-toity.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com. Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner Jamie Jamikowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Molotov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Da, 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 da. Look, I'm going to throw this out there.
Uh-oh.
I want a Wikipedia page. I have no idea how to make one happen. I tasked Pav with it earlier, and he came back with actual logic of, like, I need, like, a Wikipedia person. And
a Wikiperson, yeah.
A Wikiperson.
Wikiperson, yeah.
Wikiperson, yeah. If anybody knows a Wikiperson, yeah, then let me know.
Pav, help.
So,
Pav, you have offered so much assistance that we don't actually need. Yeah. Now we're actually putting the bat signal up.
Yeah.
The Pav signal.
But, here's the big thing is.
Pav, man.
Like, I don't know if we have enough history to, like, have a YouTube series made about us, but I would love to hear Pav do an entire, like, 8-episode, like 10 minutes each
at
most. I
think there's enough. I don't know. It's just funny. Like, Pav will literally be like, hey, Jason, do you remember in May of 2017 when you said this exact quote? I'm like, absolutely not. I don't. Of course I don't remember saying that.
Of course
that.
I don't.
How do you? I'm not that interesting. But shout out to Pav, who's an awesome person, and the brand split police.
Yeah.
But Pav, official homework assignment. DC, help. DC, you group work. Group
project.
DC.
You'll all be graded individually, so if some person doesn't do enough of the work, they'll...
DC and Pav, help us get a
Wikipedia. And if we get verified, we will put Doc Manson in the Hall of
Fame. People,
yes.
And people out there that are like, why? It's we have heard, and it might not be true, but we have heard that you need a Wikipedia page to get your Twitter verified. And we would like to get that done.
Or at least it goes a long way.
Yeah. So it can't hurt to roll. If it helps, it helps. If it doesn't, it's still neat.
Also, Pav,
it's harmless.
Also, Pav, if you want to do like a YouTube series about the history of NAI, I would
do this first.
Yeah,
but do this first.
Do this first.
Do the Wikipedia thing first.
You and Maddie get together. And
you and
it out.
Yeah, Maddie Wilson can certainly help. He's smart. Just whatever. Anyone that can help, really.
Yeah.
But
right.
Pav's in charge.
Pav.
Yeah, once it's there, anybody can edit it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Best of luck. I have a feeling that being in a group project with Pav, the word I believe we would come up with to be polite would be probably diligent.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Ty diligent.
Thorough.
Ty diligent.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be his Ring of Honor name.
Ty diligent.
Ty diligent.
What is it? Sean Sparks or something like that? Sean Spears?
No, sure. That sounds like a rapper's real name.
Sean Spears? Sounds like a Mad TV cast member.
Yeah.
Right. Isn't that, wasn't it like Shari Spears?
Aries Spears. Who did like a pretty good Jay-Z. Anyway, so let's talk about it in like specific detail because we've kind of alluded at like, you know, the world and all that stuff. And so the point that I want to make most before, and Bill, I want to hear your thoughts on this as well, but my jumping point off is this, is they know that kayfabe is dead, right? And the fan base, so WWE seems to react with like, so we're going to be pretty laissez-faire with stories because if you already know, then what's the point? Which I think is a terrible approach, but here we are. But the reason I bring it up specifically is because, right, the only way I think you can make people go like ooh and ah, because like, so in the 1980s, right, you know, you watch the old videos and stuff, it was like, so Harley Race has put a $25,000 bounty on Ric Flair's head. And if anybody will beat Ric Flair to the point of incapacitation, Harley Race will give you $25,000. And in 1984, when you don't know the deal, that's compelling because you're like, wow, in theory, Ric Flair is like in the same situation that John Wick is in right now.
Yeah,
where
right.
Like everybody that sees Ric Flair is going to try to kill him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And so it's like, that's interesting because I don't know that this is fake. I don't know that you guys actually are, you know, great friends. And so it's like, that's compelling. Now, flash forward to 2019 and
Baron Corbin is taking off purple shirts to unveil other purple shirts.
Joey G sent you the gif.
I saw it and it was
everything you hoped it could be?
Everything I hoped it would be.
And so like, let's say the Baron Corbin goes, I'll give you $25,000 to anyone that can, like, you know, break Roman Reigns' knees. And now what your brain does is just different, is your brain evaluates what it thinks of that story between two characters.
Right.
1989, you go, wow. What's this breakdown between these two men slash characters? I'm intrigued. 2019, you know, flash forward 30 years, gulp, and you evaluate it like you do TV, like you do a movie, like you do a book, like you do a play, like you do a fiction, like you do fiction without that actual, like, whoa, this just got real factor. Right. So my point is, how do you accomplish that in 2019? What you do is you acknowledge that fourth wall. When CM Punk sat Indian style and went like, this show sucks, you went, holy crap. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Because no one had ever said that before. Because I know it's a show, and you know you're a show, but wait a minute. Is that a real guy talking to me right now? But Raw's still on the air. What's going on? Because that is really it. Nothing CM Punk said that night about John Cena or his mama or anything you could imagine.
Or High Cole Cabana.
Right, right. Could have hit as hard as, when Vince McMahon dies, maybe this show will be good again. And then you just go, what? You know what I, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Because that is so real. And in a world where we don't do that, that's the only thing I got to make you go. Like, again, the most to make you think time and space had stopped in wrestling, right? Vince McMahon had Brock Lesnar pin The Undertaker. Because don't tell me I don't know how to, I can't still surprise you. But it's going to take something unbelievably extreme.
Right.
That's how we're going to get there. Because you know the deal, and you know that The Undertaker, and you know his real name's fucking Mark and all that stuff. You know. And then, so to get you, I got to do something that would defy the logic of the show because you refuse to be members of the part right. of the show. You choose to be an audience of a production.
Right.
That's how things have changed.
Right.
And so what they have to do, and even though I don't like the Triple H example specifically, what they have to do to try to grab you by the balls in a world where you know that Harley Race was never going to pay you to beat up Ric Flair.
Yeah, right.
What they have to do to grab you by the balls is have Triple H say, you beat up Richard Flair and I'm not a character anymore and you're dead. Because then what they want you to do is go like, whoa, does he really hate Batista? Now, let's not talk about it in the abstract. Let's talk about the specifics.
Right.
I don't like the... So it's funny. The internet hates Ronda Rousey and loves the Batista Triple H thing. I'm psyched the Batista's back, but don't like what they're doing for a couple reasons. We'll talk about it. And think Ronda Rousey's great. But let's talk about Triple H and yeah. Batista first. Here's the setup I'm going to give you. I gave you off the air, and this is what I would like to have seen, right? And then you two, I just want you to jump off, right? So what would have been a good story, right? Because what they're doing is they're rushing everything.
Right.
They're trying to make a film a 5-hour movie in an hour and 90 minutes, right? And what they're doing is Dave Batista came out of absolutely nowhere, beat up Ric Flair out of absolutely nowhere, and goes, hey, Hunter, do I have your attention now? And the number one thing we saw on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders when we talked to you guys during all these shows, and then I saw on @NewAgeInsiders, @LiamNAI, @BillNevilleNAI on Twitter was, whoa, when were you trying to get Triple H's attention?
Yeah, right.
And so like I said this to you, and I'm not trying to fantasy book, but it's just an example. Pick anything, right. But just tell me a story. But my example was, what if for the weeks leading up to Raw, right, for a good solid 2 months, you just had these little cameos. Ricky Steamboat, Sting, these little cameos yep. by legends that pop in and, you know, the Bushwhackers say something funny. Little things.
Tiny.
And then what you have Dave Batista do consciously is go on Instagram and be like, what's up, WWE? You know I'd always love to come home. And then have these messages grow more and more angry to the point where it's like, I guess I'm not a legend after all. You know what I mean?
Right.
And have it feel like this dude is like at home, pissed off that they won't call him and bring him back.
Yeah.
And so when he shows up on Raw and beats the crap out of Ric Flair, you go, as an audience, oh, Dave has had enough.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But instead, he just beats up Ric Flair and goes, do I have your attention? It's like, Dave, to my knowledge, you haven't tried to get it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And then you go to the extreme that, look, this is where I'll be the dork. Ric Flair's been on TV for 40 years, and no one's called him Richard Flair, not once. Like,
right.
That's something you say for the funeral. And so for the first time that we're going to, like, go there and call him Richard Flair and call him a character and be like, I'm Triple H, but I'm not right now, you're going to shed all of that, all those veils.
Right.
So Triple H can beat Dave Batista at WrestleMania 35, and then we don't talk about it probably ever again.
Right.
And it's like, that is a lot. The analogy I would give you is, for 40 years, we've been saving this bottle of wine, and we decided to open it. The special occasion was Batista's back for 6 weeks to fight Triple H.
Yeah.
And now we're going to call him Richard Flair. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah. The problem is that the way that you have this monster right now is that you don't care about the storylines, right? You care about the moments, right? So you're not thinking about how you build to Dave Batista versus Triple H. You want the entrance of Batista at WrestleMania. It's probably going to be semi-Avengers themed. And then having the square off and then ultimately the pictures and the poses and the videos at WrestleMania.
Triple H should come out like Thanos.
He should. He absolutely should. But the point is that you look at it and you don't care about the story leading up to it. You're just thinking about the moments that end it. And when you do that, the moments have to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're not thinking about what really builds a moment, and it's the story that leads up to it. And so, yeah, I have to call Richard Fleer. I have to call Ric Flair Richard Fleer. And Triple H has to say, no, I'm going to fight you as Paul, because that's got to be the woe factor, because we have to keep feeding this monster, as opposed to, you know what? It's better the last time when we had Triple H come out when he was going to fight The Undertaker and him basically be like, I don't want to be that guy anymore. I was that guy. And you build into the character of like, I'm this executive and I'm really fun and NXT is fun and don't we love NXT and it's super fun and I'm in charge of that and I really like what I do and I'm not angry anymore. I'm not this manipulative asshole anymore because I've like grown up a bit. But Undertaker, you're being a jerk and I'm going to have to go there now.
Yeah, and I don't want to overly harp on this because just for the record, I'm actually really happy Batista's part of this Mania season.
Oh, I think it's
going
to be fun.
And I'm happy about that this is Hunter's match this year. I think he's going to win. I think it's good that Triple H finally wins a match at WrestleMania, I think for the first time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
the idea that, like, I am not like, is Dave Batista back?
No.
I think it's great.
The problem is the story.
Here's the thing. And the thing that my yeah button, you know, about this whole thing is this. This, from a person that, you know, likes fiction, right?
Right.
This one was super easy. Like, I pulled that out of my ass in the pre-show meeting about the whole, like, Batista being pissed off and then having a reason to come back all angry. And this one, to me, the story is so easy. You build up that, like, there's stars, like, you have, like, just hear me out, right?
Yeah.
There's stars, we keep bringing back stars and talking about The Rock and bringing back stars, and you don't include him. And so that guy goes, oh, wait a minute. You don't think I'm a star? I'm such a star, I didn't need this place. And then Triple H goes, yeah, and that's the problem. And now it's about these two guys that were in Evolution and the two paths where it's like Triple H is like Mr. Wrestling and now Dave Batista's Mr. Hollywood. And it's like, yeah, Dave, you know what I mean? Maybe you aren't as big a star as The Rock, and that's why I haven't called. And like, ooh.
Yeah, right.
And it, like, look, beating up Ric Flair is fine. If it needs to hit a climax, it's right. fine. But the idea that this needed to be Richard Fleer on the first time on TV in 40 years, plus I'm a character too now.
That's the one that kills me.
Triple H is a character now.
Right. Ric Flair's done, right? Like, Ric Flair isn't going to wrestle again, probably. But Ric Flair's not going to wrestle again. So, you know, the one of, like, calling him Richard Fleer, it's over. So, sure, if you want to do that, that's fine. But the one that bugs me is, no, I'm addressing you as Paul.
Yep.
And it's like, well, where do we go? What do we, what?
Right, because it's the same thing as what you brought up earlier. If every fight we've had is scripted,
right,
and then this one isn't, so now what? You're implying that, okay, even if I'm dumb enough to like go like, oh, this one's the real fight, it's like, but then, so that's Sunday night. So is Monday everything back to being scripted? Then what's the point of watching? I thought you were a fighting promotion. Oh, I'm supposed to watch it like a show? Well, I'm supposed to watch it like a show. At no point has Robert Downey Jr. ever looked at the camera and been like, you know, get a load of Helmsworth over here. You know what I mean? Because we're in a movie, man.
Right.
You know what
I mean? At no point during the dramatic monologue does Thanos turn and go, yeah, I'm, oh God, why can't I remember the actor?
Josh Brolin.
Yeah. At any point, he goes, wow, Thanos is a jerk, but I'm Josh Brolin and I'd never do that.
Right. Or, like, at one point, like, Thanos goes, you know, he's just, you know, like, over here, kayfabing Captain America and kayfabing Spider Man. And then he goes, but me and you, Helmsworth, this is personal. It's like, I thought he was fucking Thor. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it's like, so if everybody else, is that really, you know, is that really Tom Holland or is that Spider-Man? Because if you're not Thor, that's not Spider-Man, the whole thing falls apart. And again, I know I'm being overly analytical, I suppose.
No, but that's the problem.
But it's like, so
the problem, and at no point.
So it's just something you can now turn off. You've turned it off.
Right. At no point did Bryan Cranston look at anybody and go, yeah, sometimes Walter White's a dickhead.
Right.
And it's just like, what?
Right. Well, that again, because I'm just a total nerd for the Avengers. Can you tell? But like, that's the thing. If he kayfaved everybody, but like legit, but like Brolin didn't like Chris Hemsworth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And so during the fucking movie, you know what I mean? He's like, I'm going to get you, Captain America, and don't even try it, bug man. Mm-hmm. And Hemsworth, fuck you, dude. You know what I mean? It's like, well, is Chris Hemsworth in this movie with Captain America?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
what's happening?
Right. And so that's the problem with this whole thing. It's just like, I'm not Triple H right now. It's like, well, then are you going to be
Triple H tomorrow?
And right. And then the thing I think it is because I know there's probably people at home being like, come on, guys. Maybe it's just all breaks down to using the word character.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Well, because the problem is that I want you to go the other way, right? I want you to lean so hard into these characters that you don't, right? It's everybody in the WWE right now feels like, and you know what? Here's the deal. I'm going to put independent wrestling on blast too, right? Everybody in wrestling right now feels like they're too cool.
Oh, they think they're way cooler than
they
are.
They think that they're so
cool.
The
majority of pro wrestlers think they are and, so much cooler than they are.
Right. It's just like, oh, man, I'm so cool. Yeah. And it's like, I can't be caught dead playing a character. But then you look at somebody like Anthony Green, right?
Yeah.
Anthony Green's whole...
How about Joey Ryan?
Joey Ryan, right? He's another one. They're kind of playing the same thing, sort of. But
yeah.
But Anthony Green... Yeah, Joey Ryan's going to be a better example because I think everybody's going to know him. Christian Casanova is another one. You know, but it's just like, yeah, Joey Ryan is like, yeah, I'm a porn star, kind of. And that's going to be my gimmick. And I'm going to lean all the way into it. Yeah. And everybody loves Joey Ryan.
Right. And you know what? And when Joey Ryan goes out there and flips you with his dick, everybody has a good time. You know why? Because at the end of the day, as much as this might sound like blasphemy or whatever, at the end of the day, Joey Ryan flipping you with his penis is as real as a stalling suplex.
Right.
And you sticking your legs straight up in the air and not trying to get down.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, look, I understand that there's a difference, but... Is there?
No.
I give you a stalling suplex, and you just go, and you're the opponent, and in theory, you just go, man, I am just so fucked that I'm going to keep my legs straight in the air, not elbow this guy in the face. Just, this is my fate.
Right.
But at least I should show some pageantry and keep my legs straight.
Right.
Like, a stalling suplex is as stupid as a dick flip.
Right, exactly.
It is. It's a show.
Right. And so you look at it, and why is Lucha Libre still a thing in Mexico? Because everybody leans into the characters.
Yep.
Right? And American pro wrestling, they've stopped.
Yep.
Right? Because they don't want to be Japanese wrestling, which is more like a fighting promotion.
Yeah.
They still want the pageant. They want their cake and they want to eat it too.
Yep.
But yeah, every single pro wrestler is like the you know, the jock that's going to be in the high school play.
Yep.
Where it's like, do you know... Like, you know, the captain of the football team, if you actually just leaned into this, you'd be good at it. But instead, you're doing this entire show as like, oh, isn't it stupid that I'm doing the play? Not realizing that you're on stage doing the play.
Yep.
And the people that are the best and the most entertaining are the ones that are leaning into the fact that they're in a play.
Yep. That's the biggest thing is like, I understand that, like I said this whole time, I understand that there's a significant amount of value to be like, I don't know how to drop your jaw anymore, right? Because the last story I can think of, and, you know, you tell me if I'm wrong and pick another one and it's fine. But the last story I can think of that made you really suspend your disbelief at a theatrical level that I think people still, like, sank their teeth all the way into was... In the year 1997, Sting's contribution to pro wrestling was being in the rafters for 30 seconds with a buzzard. And so people that are like younger than 20 that think that this has always been Sting, imagine if like Kofi Kingston became Sting. Well, you know what I mean? Like imagine if like No Way Jose became the Crow. You know what I mean? Like Sting was the... like a living exclamation point.
Batman. You got to go with Batman because people don't know who the Crow is.
Oh, yeah, right. So that's right, exactly.
That's
yeah.
also a dated reference.
That's also old. Right, exactly. But it's right. It is. It's like, imagine if Mojo Rawley
all of a sudden just stalked people in the rafters like Batman.
Right, exactly. It's like Sting was, you know, the living exclamation point, just this bright, colorful explosion. And then in the year 1997, and up and right until Starrcade, which is in December, so like the whole year, he would just stalk Hulk Hogan. Because and he turned from a surfer dude, fun guy, to like trench coat, white paint, yeah. literal actual buzzards. And so, and I think people were like, yeah, I kind of know that wrestling's not like quote unquote real, but like, what's up with this guy? You know, right. you know what I mean? And so I understand that it's tough to do that. I understand that it's tough, but my frustration with WWE is they don't try.
Right.
And so they it's not that they try and fail, which I think is far more acceptable than not trying at all.
Right.
And so, like, yeah, this Dave Bautista thing is just like, this is super, super easy. Triple H says, hey, you're not even a real star. And this guy goes, fuck you, man. I'm in the Avengers. This is so easy that we don't need to hit right. the Richard Fleer. Triple H just called himself a character. I don't think that's the one that kills me. I don't think that's nothing.
No, that's the one that kills me. The Ric Flair thing, he doesn't wrestle. He's not a part of this TV.
I know, yeah.
That one doesn't bother me.
That's the 40 years of buildup.
No, I know.
That's
when you used it for this. Right. But
that's why I bring it up.
The thing is that Ric Flair was the kickoff to this, and we're never going to see Ric Flair again. You know what I mean? Like, we'll see him sparingly.
Yeah, right, right.
The problem is that...
Which is fine.
The problem is that there's a locker room that they've started showing that just says McMahon family, right? And in theory, half the time, Hunter's back behind that door, right? And so, yeah, you're going to tell me that I'm Triple H and I'm big and I'm bad, and we're still going to call you Triple H and we're going to refer to you as Triple H, but you're going to stand in that ring and go, no, right now I'm Paul.
Right.
And it's like, wow, that's dumb.
Yeah, and it also is just like... Because I know the deal, and I know you know, and so it's like this isn't, they didn't in the year 2019 expose the business, right? That's stupid. But what they have done, you're right, is like kind of hit a point where it's all the pageantry stuff is just character stuff, because now you just said it was. I don't know.
Yeah, because on April 7th is Monday, or is that WrestleMania?
That's WrestleMania.
So on April 8th. Hunter's going to go out on TV, right? And he's going to be Triple H.
Yeah.
On April 7th, he's going to be Triple H. His name bar, when he, you know, descends from a purple rafter while lightning and fire engulf him and dragons show up, because I'm just assuming that that's what his entrance is going to be this year. You know, maybe an actual New York giant will descend his hand and he will carry Hunter to the ring. I don't know. It's going to be lavish. But the point is that when the lower third scrolls across, it's going to say it Triple H. It is not going to say Paul Levesque. So why did we do that?
Because they don't know. This one's just so easy.
It's because you care so much about attracting the casual fans that are going to think it's stupid.
Well, and to their credit, because here's the thing. I know I just like shit all over that whole thing. To their credit, this reminds me in a way of, remember like a month ago when for no reason at all, no good reason, no bad reason, just no reason, some guy walked in on Alexa Bliss kind of changing?
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember that? She was like covering herself and it was just...
Yeah.
And what I said at the time was, that was really stupid. But I give them kind of this partial credit for trying to think outside. The intention was, let's make the program a little edgier. And I agree with that mission statement.
Yeah, right.
The execution of having Alexa Bliss holding a top over herself so we saw her bare back. That's bad. That's dumb.
Right. You didn't do it well.
Right. But I don't want you to abandon the train of thought of edgier programming. And so, like, that is, like, kind of conceptually the same thing here, where it's like, I like your train of thought. You want to kick me in the gut with a story. I like that.
Right. I like your effort.
I want you to kick me in. I want you to want to kick me in the gut with a story.
Right.
But then you go and you go, Triple H goes, I'm a character, and there's no buildup. It's going to last 6 weeks. There's no continuation. And that is just so much pomp to put on something that ultimately means nothing.
Yeah, right.
And so let's go to Ronda Rousey.
Like Kofi. did it very well.
And we're going to talk all about Kofi Kingston on Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. As soon as this show ends, we go over to Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. And if you subscribe on Twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV right now, we'll send you a live stream link and you can join that show too.
I love it. Right. But that's the thing is like Kofi Kingston and like you just eloquently said, we'll talk about it more in depth on the Patreon show. But it's like, yeah, without saying that I'm a character and my issues as like a employee and like playing a character on this show, I feel like you just never gave me a shot. That felt real on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how you do it. Ronda Rousey is how you do it.
Yeah. Becky, like Dana Brooke was great.
Yeah.
Dana Brooke, when she went out there this week and Dana Brooke goes, who do you think you are? I've worked so hard. I would love to be in your position right now. You know what I mean? It's like, right. Oh, God, that feels real.
Right.
Because she didn't have to say, like, anything that broke the business.
Right.
She just
right.
goes, like, I've been wrestling so much longer than you.
And so you get double entendres, basically, the entire time. Right? Because it's like, yeah, man, on the base level, yeah, if I'm a 7-year-old, yeah, I work so hard because I've been here longer. But on the surface and the subcontext of it is like, yeah, man, you're Ronda Rousey and you just showed up here. So you got a bunch of stuff that I didn't get, even though I've worked my ass off.
Right.
You know, you don't have the right to
this
say
this is the only sport where if ownership wants you to, you get to cut the line.
Right.
Because like you don't get to be an all-star center fielder because I like you.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Right. Wrestling's the only thing in this sports part of sports entertainment, whatever little sliver of the pie it actually is,
right,
where it's like, in theory, you don't even have to be good to be the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not that that's a play here. But I want to pivot to Ronda Rousey because we're about to go over to patreon.com/newageinsiders. Rousey specifically.
Right.
What do you think about Ronda Rousey specifically? That infamous now meme-worthy couch promo where she said, Rebecca Quinn, go fuck yourself. This is the fans, you know, pound sand, I'm done trying with you. The idea, their Twitter war, their infamous, I mean, that Twitter war where it feels like it just got realer and realer. And here's a little piece of info because we give it to you when we have it. I talked to the guy that's in charge of basically WWE's social media. And I said, are you doing this? When Lynch and like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, right. when Lynch and Rousey going back and forth. And I go, are you doing this? Because sometimes, spoiler alert, sometimes they don't tweet themselves. Sometimes it's two PR guys having a fun little back and forth.
Right.
And this was not done by WWE's PR guys. This was not the social media dude. This was Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey going back and forth. And everything we've heard from everybody we talk to that works there says Rousey's actually pissed. So they're either kayfabing the world or this got to a point where Ronda Rousey's like, I don't like where this is how far this has gotten.
Right.
But like now just open it up. What do you think of, like I said, their Twitter war, Ronda Rousey's kind of I'm done caring attitude about what you think, just the whole thing.
So this is what I want you to lean more into it, right? I want you to live it. So if you're going to insist that I follow your social media accounts and things are going to happen, I don't care if you have multiple, right? Like, I don't care if Rebecca Quinn has one and Becky Lynch has one. But if I follow the Becky Lynch one, I want it to be in character. I would love to see the extension of this show because here's a prime example. You watched SmackDown last week. SmackDown ends with the New Day. They ran out of time, so we didn't get a conclusion, right? But the SmackDown ends with the New Day having to like start to fend off the world because Vince McMahon is going to come down so hard on the New Day for being, you know, just terrible employees. I don't know. We've seen this story before. You can call
I'm not exactly sure why Vince is so goddamn mad at Kofi, to be honest with you.
Right, neither am I. But that's irrelevant. The point is that show just went off the air. And I would love to, in character, have all of them just start, like, telling me what the deal is. Because it's a continuation of the storyline. Not, like, go backstage and, like, 15 minutes after the show, Xavier Woods is tweeting about, like, oh, now go check out, like, this Madden tournament on Up, Up, Down, Down.
Right, because in theory, this is exactly what the good side of Twitter can be. Which is, like you said, all right, it's Thursday afternoon. We have no programming today and no way to continue this story other than like Facebook clips or like having that girl, what's her, Charlie, whatever,
yeah,
you know, to tell you stuff. And instead, now what we can do is have like, you know, have those guys go back and forth. Because like I said, talking to WWE right. people, but half the Twitter feuds you see are two PR nerds going back and forth.
Right.
And so, but there's beauty in that. We're like, you know, right. Aleister Black goes like, Lana, you got boob implants. So it's yeah. Thursday afternoon and you're still thinking about WWE. I get it. But at the same time, like, this is, what I like about this, what I've said is there's only two things, and it's going to be a really good WrestleMania, but there's only two things that I'm like super invested in, which is assuming Kofi Kingston has a shot to win the WWE Championship, which yeah. I expect him to, and what Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey are doing. And with all due respect to everybody else, one of the complaints is, and I'm going to give you a probably an unfair example, but it suits my point, so haha.
You have the microphone. Right. Go ahead.
Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar is going to be 110%, quote-unquote, by the book, right?
Yeah.
They're going to have a thing on Raw. It's going to be a wrestling thing. It's going to feel like a wrestling thing. Paul Heyman's going to say, my guy will conquer you. Seth Rollins will say, I'm about to burn you down.
It's not a spoiler.
Right. Wrestling thing. And they're going to have a great match, and I like both of them, and I can't lose. Either Brock Lesnar wins and I laugh, or Seth Rollins wins and Raw has the best universal actual representative of that championship since Kevin Owens 3 years ago. Awesome. Can't lose. But is it exciting?
No.
Is it a WrestleMania story? Is it WrestleMania worthy? Do you act like, I'm not telling you don't care about Seth Rollins, but do you care about Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar? Do you want Rollins to beat Lesnar? If I'm anybody listening, 9.5 out of 10 of you, yes.
Yeah.
But do you like care?
No.
The way you cared about, like, I mean, this is for the Raw Championship.
Right.
And it just feels like it's less important than The Miz versus Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, well, that one's by the book, and you don't care. So this one that's breaking all these old school don't go there wrestling rules, this is the most captivating thing they got going on right now.
The other thing too is that the old school wrestling rules, you have to change them. I don't like the way that they have, but you have to change them because wrestling, those rules and those carnival rules were all built when you wrestled in the same town once every 6 weeks, maybe. You know, and now you're on television every week. And what you and this.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I'm going to go back to putting all wrestlers on blast. You think you're so much more important than you are. You're actors in a play.
Well, the wrestling, what it used to be like. And again, I was born in the, like, I didn't actually live wrestling in the 70s and right. 80s. You know what I mean? So before people, you know, I date myself too much. But what I have gathered from watching and talking to people is, like, basically what wrestling used to be is, like, just an example. Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair, right?
Yeah.
Let's equate it to Stomp. Or
right,
what's
yeah.
up? Hamilton.
Yeah,
Hamilton,
sure.
Because Hamilton's super popular, right? No one knows what Stomp is. I'm old. Yeah. But, right, so Dusty Rhodes and
that
Ric...
That was a bad reference.
Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair came to town, put on this match. This is what the Ric Flair Dusty Rhodes match was to offer. This was the show they put on for
right,
you. You know
right.
what I mean? And then you went, wow, that was incredible. Then they left town and you didn't see them for months or whatever.
Right.
And maybe the next time it was Steamboat, so it was different,
right?
And so now what happened was all of a sudden it's like, well, now I go see Hamilton once a week. And I like Hamilton. It's great. So the first like couple months of it, it's like I see it once a week and I love it. But then all of a sudden I get to the point where it's like, well, now I actually go see Hamilton like 2, sometimes 3 times a week. So can
right.
this play be different now, please? You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, right.
And WWE's sort of like, not just WWE, wrestling
yeah.
has sort of had to be like, oh, now you need Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes to do something different next week. And then on the next week. And then next week. And then at the pay-per-view. And holy shit, this is a whole new industry, isn't it?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, we're no longer doing wrestling. We're putting on a television show.
Right.
And
so that's the new expectation. My whole thing, I've never changed my position on this. If you want to be a wrestling show, great. Be a great wrestling show. If you're Vince McMahon and you famously said, I'm in the entertainment business,
yeah.
then great. Put on a great entertainment show. But my frustrating thing is...
You're not doing either.
Often, not all the time, not exclusively, but often... You're just putting on a bad entertainment show with wrestlers who aren't doing what they want to do, what we want them to do. And
right.
You know what I mean? It's like you hired this, you know, incredible starting pitcher, and now he's this shitty first baseman. It's like, well, why'd you even sign him?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And then you show glimpses, like letting Kofi go out there and do what he did during the that gauntlet match. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And it's like, yeah, that's what happens when you get out of the way and either let them wrestle like they do in New Japan, or be a TV show.
Isn't everything indicative of just what Vince McMahon said to Kofi Kingston? Because it is. It's this unbelievable thing. It's a two-sided coin with equal merit on both sides. The reason that when Vince McMahon on Tuesday night looked at Kofi Kingston and said, listen, you're great. Who doesn't think you're great? Everybody thinks you're great. The Royal Rumble stuff, you're funny. The three of you are definitely getting in the Hall of Fame. Who doesn't like Kofi Kingston? But no, you could never be the WWE champion. Get the hell out of here. You know what I mean?
Right.
And why that was so great is why it's so frustrating. It's so great because you go, oh, man, you know that's how Vince thinks. And oh, that's so great. Oh, it's so real. But then on the other side of the coin, it's like that is how he thinks. That is. Like,
right.
2 years ago, last year, 6 months ago,
yeah.
That is what he would have off the air over a beer told you about Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? That is off the air over a beer what he has said about Cesaro and Dolph Ziggler and Rusev and 5 years ago about Daniel Bryan. And you know what
right.
I mean? And like, that's the frustrating part is because like as much as it only hits that hard because it feels so real, but then you kind of come out of the, you sober up and you go, oh, but that is so real.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And you can only feed that monster so long. So I just want them to just try it.
Now, we're going to talk about the Kofi Kingston part and Vince's promo on patreon.com/newageinsiders, but wrapping up Rousey. And Bill, please jump into this as well. Just kind of your closing thoughts on Rousey specifically. How she has gone into full effort mode. How she, that couch role, just, you know, Ronda Rousey is an outsider, but she's been here for a year. And she seems to me like she's, like I said before, she's just sort of like, listen, I have nothing to lose. I either come out here and really beat you up because you pissed me off. The worst thing they can do is fire me, and I don't actually care. What do you think of that?
I like it because I like my characters to have three dimensions. Like character motivation, and point of view. That's what every character needs. You're far more compelling when you have a goal, a want, and a desire, and you have a point of view. The best bad guys are not the bad guys that are the evil for the sake of evil, right? Those James Bond, like, I'm going to hold the world hostage. Oh, yeah. Because
the difference between Thanos and Steppenwolf.
Right.
Thanos is like, I'm not a bad guy. You're all just stupid.
Yeah,
and
you're all dumb because I'm smarter than all of you. And it just so happens that my plan is super evil.
And that's why the Avengers is better than Justice League.
Right.
Because Steppenwolf goes, I conquer worlds. It's like, oh, I've never heard that before.
Right. And so,
you're so deep.
Ronda Rousey being like, yeah, I showed up and I wanted to be a part of this and you're just booing me.
But there's merit to people's complaints about certain things. I'm not dismissing anybody.
Yeah.
But like, what do you think about this like specific example? And again, Bill, if you do want to jump in, I don't want to like hog the mic. Specifically, Ronda Rousey goes on Twitter and says, "Your armbar's stupid. It would never even actually hurt anybody." That's a specific call out kind of thing where it's like, "Well, I'm expecting people to sell that on Tuesday, and you just said it doesn't hurt." And what do you think about things like that specifically?
So much like. The stuff that we talked about with Kofi Kingston, right? Where we mentioned briefly, he says how great he is at how good of a guy he's been and how much of a team player he's been for this company, right? He's never went out there and said, as an employee of this company, I've done everything that you've asked me to do and you've never even rewarded me like an employee of the month, like chance at the WWE championship, right? That's what he was saying without ever saying it. And so Ronda Rousey's kind of the same thing. On Twitter, she goes on and says, your armbar is stupid. It wouldn't even hurt, right? And from that, I can read the difference between like you put somebody in a headlock, right? And the way that you put somebody in a headlock, you clasp your hands a certain way, but if you clasp them the other way, it looks looser, right? In like the STF, right? And so you can easily take that as that. Where it's like, yeah, you're clearly not applying pressure the other way. Like, you know, I'm showing my prowess as a fighter because your armbar technique is terrible because I could do that version and it would hurt more. You know what I mean? So you can take it on that level, but then you can also take it on the sub level of like...
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's fake. You know what I mean? So you can attack both audiences at the same time.
Bill, what do you think? Because you could probably count the times I've been like, let's throw it to Bill, and actually haven't. What do you think of, like, you know, I want to, because we're on it, Rousey specifically, what do you think about what she's doing right now?
I'm loving it. This whole storyline is really the only storyline that realistically could be the main event of WrestleMania for the women. And
for like, the show.
Well, yeah, but like,
who cares about Rollins and Lesnar?
Yeah, exactly. But like, we were talking about it 6 months ago when we were talking about, hey, you know, maybe the women will main event WrestleMania, but it doesn't seem like a really good chance because, you know, Brock Lesnar's here and all these big stars are here. But you know what? They really, like, they proved it, man. They became the most compelling thing on television.
You know what they did? They did what Vince McMahon keeps telling everybody to go do. Yeah. They took it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
In theory, whether it's bullshit or not, Vince McMahon keeps saying, there is a prize on the top of that mountain. No one is willing to go climb the mountain.
This wasn't a pity.
And so those women just fucking saddled up and did it.
This wasn't a pity first for the women. This is they earned this.
No, I'm telling you, that's what it is. That whole brass ring nonsense. Well, if you can actually grab it, they did.
Yeah, well, because the only thing that's even gotten close to being a threat to them, which I don't think is going to happen, is now Kofi Kingston.
Right.
Which, in and of itself, is also very much a you went and got it thing.
You're right. And it's incredible that there was, quite frankly, just being real with you, since WrestleMania 30, there has been almost nothing to look forward to at a fever pitch.
Right.
Right. There are certainly matches to look forward to, matches that delivered, fun things to, you know, I'm not telling you that it's like, wow, for WrestleMania's 31 through 34, not a goddamn thing to look forward to. No. But what I'm telling you is like since Daniel Bryan, which is a big example, but still like, you know, did you really, really care, average fan out there, if Triple H, you know, about Roman Reigns and Triple H?
No.
Like, really, really? You know what I mean? Did you really, really? Like, no. And now, this WrestleMania has two. There was a point where Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker for no championship went on last because it's like, well, it's as good as anything else on this stupid card.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And now you're like, wow, we got two things that, like, whoever doesn't get to main event, like, oh, man, like, they're almost owed this, like, apology.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Right. Because they're both, actually good enough.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's bananas.
And so, like, look, just back to Rousey. I just think that I understand in a world where you know the deal, the only way to get you riled up and talking and hating somebody this much, because that's what you're doing. You're riled up. You're talking about it. It's a thing you want to see the most, even if it's the old Roddy Piper thing, how appropriate. Even if it's the old Roddy Piper thing. Even if you're only watching because you want to watch that guy get his head knocked off.
Right.
Still got you to watch.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right. My goal is to get you to watch.
Right. You're like, you don't care about Baron Corbin. So anything I do with Baron Corbin, yeah, he'll get his head knocked off too.
You don't care.
You don't care. Yeah. Now you hate Ronda Rousey, so that's a reason to watch.
Right.
And look, yep, I'm a wrestling nerd too. And hearing her go, like, you know, pushing the envelope almost all the way to this shit's fake and I'm real is a new world to live in.
Right.
However, I just think that what she's done is a massive success. And what they have done, to Bill's point, and it couldn't be more right, they have built an actual real, not participation trophy, do the right thing, kumbaya, real main event of WrestleMania program. And yeah, sitting on that couch and telling you to get lost adds a lot to that.
Yes, it does.
Because you want Becky Lynch to win so bad.
Right.
Because if you've been
You have to make her so hateable.
Right. And you got suckered into thinking the girl that's going out there and putting her body to the limit thinks wrestling stupid. If she did, she'd quit.
Right.
She's gotcha.
Yeah.
And they do. And I just think it's an interesting world we live in. And we're seeing it more. This 2019 WrestleMania season run is the most indicative period of, like, we've got to try new things.
Right.
Because, like, again, like, it's almost like eventually, just to bring it back to my original point, we'll do a stand-up style, we'll, you know, come back, right?
Right, yep.
Eventually, you know what you don't see when you go, I bet, what you don't see if you go see a magician? I bet you he doesn't cut a woman in half. Because you've now seen how that trick is done. You've seen it on YouTube.
Right.
You've seen it. And somebody's shown you that there's two women in the boxes, right?
Right.
And so her legs belong to one woman, and then she's not sawed in half. And so the average magician doesn't do that trick anymore. Why? Because that will no longer impress you. You know how it's done. You're not, yeah, whatever. You might go like ooh and ah and clap because, yeah. Hey, I'm at the magic show. Right. But it's not, you know what I mean? And so now what I got to do? I got to make the Statue of Liberty disappear. I don't know how, but I got to make it.
Yeah, right? Right.
And so with I get you with WWE being like, I can't put a $25,000 bounty on your head. So I got to be like, I got to do like this weird Zach Morris thing and look at the camera and go, get a load of this guy. You know what I mean? Right. Like, can you believe it? And it's like, look, I don't even tell you I love it all. It's just because I don't like the Triple H way.
Right.
But I get it, but it's different. And there's a lot to talk about. We're going to patreon.com/newageinsiders right now. If you subscribe to twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV with Amazon Prime or just regular old Twitch, we'll send you the link so you can be part of that live stream too. We can't do it on Patreon. We don't control any of the Patreon stuff. But if you go become a Patreon at patreon.com/newageinsiders, 5 exclusive shows a month, including Be Heard, which we're due for soon, where you are in complete control. That's next week. We're gonna be, if you're in complete control of that show, it's a live open Q&A. We want you to send in your voice memos so we can actually hear you guys out there. But it's basically an ask me anything. We've talked about everything from everything to everything. Not like everything. And it's a super lot of fun. Your support goes a long way. NEI Mania around the corner. NewAgeInsiders.com has the tickets to Chaos for a Cause, our first sponsored live wrestling show featuring Tommy Dreamer. The WrestleMania tailgate party, where all those proceeds go to Connor's Cure, an amazing cause, beer, food, cosplay, prizes, incredible things. You never know what can happen. WrestleMania weekend, NewAgeInsiders.com. My name's been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, including during these broadcasts, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville, NAI, our website with the friends, the shows, the affiliates, with DC and Doc, with Jamie and Scotty and Rich, with... Go shout out to Jimmy and Jay Stu, even though they're not on our network. But everything we got going on is on NewAgeInsiders.com, the tickets to the Mania, all the fun stuff, the news. Everything filters through there. iTunes, Podomatic, Glork Normal, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube. If you can't listen live or watch live on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV Wednesday nights at 8, we're going over to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders now. And thank you so much for making us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.